listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life here on LA Talk Radio. Now, today, I'm going to give you fair warning. We're going to talk about something a little controversial and perhaps difficult. I titled this episode, Death, What's the Big Deal? And that is not in any way to be glib about people passing away or the sorrow or grief that comes from those kinds of experiences, which we all know. I mean, every single person listening to this knows death. Sometimes it's with someone very close. Sometimes it's with, someone over there or a friend and so forth. My own personal experience with death, when I was young, I had a little brother who was born and lived 3 months and died. And I was young at the time. And I remember my, parents coming home from the hospital. And the baby had come home for a very, very short period of time. And then was back in the hospital till he passed away. And I remember the tears and prayers and so forth. I remember when my grandfather died and going to that funeral. I remember when my father died at 66, quite early, and going through that experience and on and on. And so you have the same kinds of things. And it affects everyone in a profoundly different way, and I know that. So with that caveat, we're going to talk about death. We're going to talk about why it is hard and what we can do about that. Because this show is about your ultimate life. And that's about living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And yet, in the midst of all that, dying or separation or transitioning to the next life, that's all part of it. And, when you see things like The Lion King, they talk about the circle of life, and it's easy to conceptually understand something like that. We're all born, we all die, until it happens and it's someone close to you. Another experience I had was with a fellow at work. For about a dozen years, between about 25 and 37, somewhere in those years, I worked rotating shift work. And the people that did the things that I did, there were about 25 of us or 30 that occupied these shift positions. And so you got to know everybody really, really well. And this one fellow, I'd even taken a trip with him to Las Vegas. And, we did Las Vegas-y things and so forth, a road trip on some days off. So I knew him pretty well. And then he got cancer. And I visited him in the hospital. He didn't have a lot of relatives. In fact, I don't remember if there were any. I lived in Phoenix at the time. And I went to see him in the hospital, and I don't know if anybody else did or not. But anyway, I did, and gradually, not very gradually, over just a very few months, lung cancer, and he had been a smoker, and so not particularly surprising for that affliction. But anyway, he withered up, and then he died. So that was kind of close, and I was, I wasn't with him when he passed, but I'd seen him just a few days before, et cetera, et cetera. So that affected me, as any deaths might affect you. So knowing that this permanent part of life, nobody escapes it. We all die. And we all are born too, but we don't remember that much. But we all know death, and it comes as sort of this mystery in the night or in the daytime. Sometimes it comes suddenly with an accident. Not too long ago, from the recording of this date, a couple of hockey players who are fairly well known here in Edmonton, Alberta, where we live, two brothers. They were killed. And someone under the influence, or at least that appears to be the case, got out of their lane and hit these two men on bikes, and they're dead. And so without warning, those things happen, and it leaves us to answer or ask screaming questions. Why then? Why now? Why did it happen to them? Look what evil there is in that. How did this person, do such a thing? And then we can get full of rage. They should be tortured and, all kinds of evil things done to them. And then we look on a larger scale at things like the wars that are going on. And there's more than these two, but there's certainly the one that's been going on for 2.5 years now in Ukraine, which is an unjust and evil slaughter of maybe 1 million people at this point. And I consider the Russian soldiers, a lot of them, to be sort of victims also. although, you know, they know what they're doing, and I'm not taking political sides. I already have. Russia shouldn't have done that. It's wrong, and they're murdering people, and we've got Ukrainian refugees in our household. I understand that there may be different points of view, and we're not here to talk politics. The other war is the terrifying slaughter going on in Israel and Gaza, and the peripheral war on the north in Lebanon. And again, without taking sides, there's brutality, there's evil, there is threats of extinction, and the ultimate thing is dead people everywhere. Our Ukrainian refugees that are living here with us, mother and daughter, you know, she was just telling me about learning not too long ago that a friend that she knew growing up was now dead from the war. And so that's, you know, up close and personal. So that's enough examples. You have a whole bunch in your own life that you know about and are thinking about the injustice of it. Now, let me say right off the bat, I can't give justice to anything. I can't give with any definitive declaration about why this or that happened, why the Creator and God allow such cruelty and pain and suffering to go on. I have some ideas, and I'll share them just briefly, but it is in no way a justification or a pretense that this is salve for those suffering from those kinds of deaths. First of all, this space on Earth, 50 years, 60 years, 15 minutes, 3 months, as in the case of my very young brother many years ago, or 100 years, however long we live, is a micro speck in eternity. And so there are going to be things that happen in this tiny moment that we don't understand and that don't seem right or that aren't right viewed from that narrow perspective. It's just like looking at a single day. If you have a horrific day and things go wrong and all this bad news comes and you judge all of life by that, you could feel like life is just this monster to be avoided. On the other hand, if you looked at a single day that was fabulous, things went well, people are healthy and great stuff happens, and you judge life by that, just the circumstances of that day, you'll have a completely different opinion. Eternity compared to this 100 years or 10 minutes, I realize some only live a short period, is like that. And we can't see that now because we don't remember where we came from. But I last week I talked about what I learned from dying and coming back to life and my near-death experience. And I won't rehearse any of that today. But if you want to hear that, that's last week's episode. And I talked a little bit about the conference I went to, Near-Death Experiences, International Association of Near-Death Studies. If you're interested in that kind of thing, look it up. IANDS.org, I think, IANDS. And it's been around a long time, and it's, you know, does scholarly studies and explores all kinds of different spiritual experiences. But anyway, that's there. If that interests you and you want to get some interesting and some, you know, researched information on stuff, they're a resource and they're really good. I hadn't been to the conference before. I went to this last one and it was really good. The people were good. The research was good. They make claims that you can dispute or refute if you want to. And they also give information that's really interesting and profound and helps us connect things. So today I wanted to, with that caveat, understanding that I'm in no way am I justifying anything or pretending that I have answers to why cruelty and pain and madness exists in our world. I think that, you know, the speck that it is has to be taken into account. And the fact that there is an almighty, there is an overarching power, God, if you will, and that the commitment is everything will be made right. Now, you can argue with that, and you can say, well, if you lose your life, you can never make that right. And I don't think we can know that. You know, again, if I have a horrible day and bad things happen to me in one day and I judge life by that, I could say nothing could ever happen to make up for this day. And that's not true. We go through life and after a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, you barely remember those things. And people say all the time, I wouldn't trade these horrible experiences for anything. I hear that all the time. And you probably have heard that or said it because our perspective changes. And so getting out of this life and seeing eternity and trusting that whatever justice needs to be administered to people who have done horrible things in this tiny sliver of eternity will be done. And I can just tell you anecdotally, I am so grateful. I am not involved in creating that judgment or justice process, because no matter what we think, or my experience is, no matter what I think when I see something and I make a judgment about it and who should have be do what, I don't want to be the one responsible for that, because I know for sure in my own life, I don't know enough. I'm not empathetic enough. I don't have enough love and kindness. I don't know the whole story. Some people say, studied scientists say, well, if you were in that person's situation and had their exact upbringing, you'd do the same thing. That's a terrifying thought sometimes. And I don't know if it's exactly true, but it gives me pause and it makes me think, wow, if that's true, then I better not judge anything. And there was a writer in 100 or 200 years ago that saw a condemned man being led to the gallows or something, and he remarked there, but for the grace of God, go I. Meaning, obviously, in the right circumstances, that could be me. So there are all kinds of arguments about that. And I'm not trying to convince you one or the other. I'm just saying, personally, in my life, I've seen enough that I know there's more. And it drives me to withhold judgment and to ask more interesting questions than why did this happen? It's not fair. And to rail about that in either rage or confusion or sorrow or sadness, or at least not to do so very long, because we all have those terrible feelings when bad things happen. And we can keep them forever. And all that does is make us shrivel up so that we can't do much. We certainly aren't living the ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And if you know what? If the answer is, the only way to have purpose, prosperity, and joy is to have things go just like I want, or at least mostly, we're all screwed, because everybody has things that happen that are painful, not your fault, unjust, and everything else. All right. So back to dying. There are 10 things that I want to talk about here as ways to think about dealing with death, because you can deal with it any way you want. Sometimes we deal with it by not dealing with it, stuffing it down and ignoring it, and then we carry an ache in our heart. Sometimes we deal with it in rage, and sometimes we deal with it in injustice, or, you know, all kinds of other ways, but none of those help if we hold on to them very long. Think about it. If I stay in just absolute pain forever, I can't do much or be much for myself or others. That's especially important if I have kids or a spouse or others that are dependent on me. If I'm completely destroyed and debilitated by something on a long-term basis, I've become useless. So here are 10 thoughts that I have. It's not intended to be all-inclusive or to answer all the questions. It's just some thoughts that have come to me that I noted down, and there are more than 10, and I'll probably split some of these up. Number one, here's what I know for sure, and maybe this will be a comfort for you and maybe not, but I know absolutely for certain that death is not the end of anything except this brief period in the world. That's all it is. It is the end of this mortal existence. My own experience, and I would dare say your own intuition, leads you to know there is more. People talk all the time about getting intuition and inspiration. From where? And people talk about, well, my higher self. Well, what is that? It exists somewhere in the context of the conscious unified field. It exists somewhere in the spirit realm. Well, if that exists, then it is absolutely certain that the spirit that inhabits your body and mine goes somewhere. It doesn't disappear. And because we don't know where that is, right? And we can't pinpoint exactly what happens. And then because we don't have immediate contact, like we can't pick up the phone and call, we then despair. So death, what we call death, is the doorway. You walk through it. It's a transition. You're moving from this particular set of experiences in this physical body, which you leave behind and goes in a grave or in a mausoleum, crematorium, or whatever. You leave that behind, and the spirit, the energy, the spark that is you, the true you, goes somewhere else. Now, I want you to think about this true you idea, because you're not your body. You're in your body. You're contained in there. And obvious, if a person loses both legs, they're still in there, right? And arms, and you know, I don't know how much of the body, as long as it keeps functioning, you know, there's a spirit in there. And if you keep all your legs and arms, but the spirit leaves, as dead as a doornail, right? So there is a life force, an energizing thing. I'm calling it a spirit just because. You know it goes somewhere. So that means that death is a transition. It's not an end, except an end of this life. And it's an end of associations that we've come used to. You could look at it as a cause for celebration. I mean, when we're born into this life, right? Celebrations, baby showers, et cetera, et cetera. I've wondered, this might sound a little silly. Do they have a funeral in the life before? When a spirit leaves that realm to come here, is there great sadness and pain because that set of experiences is done and they're born here? I doubt it because I think before we came, we have greater knowledge. For whatever reason, it seems like there's a veil of forgetfulness here. And perhaps later we'll get all the particulars about how this was designed and why. But I can't imagine in the spirit realm before here, when someone transitions here as a new little baby, that there's mourning and lamentation and great funeral. And I realize we have life celebrations, and I love calling them life celebrations instead of funeral, because the truth is it's a transition. So just know that. Know that. It's another place, another form of being. And my own death experience confirmed that. My spirit came out. I stood at a doorway. I had some conversations. I made the choice to come back here into this body. And it was wonderful. And the body had a lot of, you know, pain and lost a lot of weight and a lot of struggle with the illness. But the spirit had a completely different experience. So it's not an end. So that allows all by itself to have a more hopeful approach about the idea of death if you want it. So another thing is that not only is it a transition, but it's not the end of life. Now, we all know we don't remember everything about where we came from, right? Although there are people who have glimpses, right? Glimpses of what things happened before, glimpses of memories, glimpses of feelings of, you know, contact with spirits. And I'm not even going to pretend to put any judgment on any of that. I don't know. I know what I've experienced is real. I've felt the presence of spirits and communication and so forth, messages and ideas and thoughts and even voices in the mind and so forth. And yeah, you can call me crazy and call the shrinks, but they've turned out to be helpful, beautiful, blissful, loving, kind, and all that good stuff that you'd expect. So life is not over. Like this physical box may stop functioning, and my own physical skin bag container has got a lot of stuff broken. You know, my eyes, my vision's 2500, and I wear some spectacular weird contacts so I can see. My ears, my hearing is deteriorated. I wear hearing aids. My back has got arthritis, and I sometimes need a cane, and you know, on and on. And I'm sure you've got a boatload. I'm not whining. Don't hear that. Not complaining one molecule. I love everything about everything I'm going through. But what I know for sure is the spirit, when my time's up, isn't going to have any of that. That's a function of this container. It's not a function of the spirit. So life, that spark, life force, continues. And it continues as an intelligence with what I am here. That I know because when I've had the feeling of other spirits in the room, they have been individuals, people whose names I know, not just some spiritual blob giving me some energy, but individuals who've passed on. And it's exciting and fun to know that. So another piece that I know absolutely for sure, and I want you to at least consider, and I offer all this as a suggestion, because obviously I can't prove to your satisfaction, I have already to mine. So these things I share with you, I know of a certainty because I've experienced them. But I offer it to you as an idea that you will continue and that the things you have done here will go with you. Often when I'm coaching people and they measure success by how much money they have at that moment or some other physical measurement, I remind them and me and you right now, here's the truth. We come into this existence from the life before with nothing at all. Nothing at all. And in fact, we come in a helpless body that has to be completely taken care of for, you know, a couple of years or more. And the care gradually gets less so we can take care of ourselves. But we come with nothing. And here's the truth. We're going to go with nothing. The physical body's going to stay behind. The only thing we're going to take with us, that spirit, is what we've made out of ourselves. Now, let's think about that. If I do tons of push-ups and if I develop great big arms, I don't think that that is going to go with me. My spirit body isn't going to have great big biceps. But spiritual development, that's going to go with us. In other words, if you've learned to be kind, if you've learned to be patient, if you've learned to love, if you've learned to look past others' mistakes and be empathetic, those characteristics go with you because they're not characteristics of the body, they're characteristics of the spirit. So think about that. That goes with us. Another thing to think about is when you think about, you know, we were talking about other people passing on, but I want you to think about your own death. Like, that's going to happen. And some people are scared to death of it and can't stand to talk about it and are afraid of it and all the rest. And it doesn't bother me at all. I have, because of the experiences I've had, I have absolutely no fear at all of any of it. Because I know exactly what happens. And I am looking forward to it in the sense, not in the sense that I hope it happens right away or I'm rushing, but in the sense of I know it's going to be beautiful and joyful. So here I want you to ask yourself, you're doing things. So am I. We are doing things as we get here. Hopefully you're living the ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I want to stop here and just invite you. If you haven't gone to the website, www.yourultimatelife.ca, to get the free 5 master keys to live and create your ultimate life, then I invite you to do that because they're free and they will do wonders for your life if you let them. So the question I ask myself often and I offer to you as a suggestion is, rather than worry about how much I have, I'm a lot more concerned with what am I leaving? Now, some people call that a legacy. I'm personally not looking to have buildings, you know, named after me because I made a substantial financial donation to a university. You know, maybe that'll happen and maybe it won't, but that's not the goal. What I'm thinking about is, like, I have a mission, and the mission I have is to help 250 million people to realize, that's you. So I'm talking to you. I want to help you understand that you're powerful, you're capable. It doesn't matter what's happened up to now. You matter now, and you can have a big impact on life. You can have all the prosperity, which is not only cash, but prosperity in relationship, in happiness, in joy. You can have that life of purpose, prosperity and joy, if you want to create it. Like, nobody has a monopoly on it, and no one can keep you from doing that. So when I think about the idea of legacy, it is, what am I leaving as an energetic footprint? Will I be remembered as someone who was kind and loving and lifting up people? Not because I want to pat myself on the spiritual back, but because that's who I want to be. I want to be someone who walked in a room and everyone there felt loved and lifted and heard and blessed. That's why on every one of these episodes, I invite you to get a hold of me. I'd love to get to know you. I really would. I'd love to see your face. I'd love to hear what you're doing with your life, what you're driven to do, what you feel called to do, and why. I'd love to hear stories of resilience and growth. And so when I think about legacy, and I invite you to consider, what will you leave behind as our physical self fades away? You know, we burn it or, you know, rots in the ground or whatever. What is the energy we've left behind? How many people have we lifted and blessed and helped? Right? That's the thing that really lasts, because, you know, everything else is going to get divided up in probate or taxes or whatever. It doesn't really matter anyway. The next thing is, you know, sometimes people say, as long as we remember them, they don't really die. And of course, the physical body's gone no matter what. No amount of pretending makes it not so. But I can tell you that thinking about, now my father passed away when he was 66, early, wasn't really ill that anyone knew about. He suddenly had a heart attack and died. So grateful that there was not a lot of suffering, prolonged stuff, but it was way early compared to how long we expected that he would live. And I remember him well. I was able to speak, was asked to speak at the funeral. And the picture they had on the funeral program was, like, we didn't take a ton of pictures. At least my recollection is we didn't take a ton of pictures in our family, so we didn't have family albums full of this, that, and the other. And it was just a picture of my dad outside doing stuff that he loved to do. And I loved it. And so when I think about that and I see that picture, saw it then, and that was in 1997. So coming up on 30 years and three more, 27 years, I guess. When I see that, it evokes fond memories, and it also evokes this connection, and it allows us to remember each other. One of the things that clients say to me that I enjoy, that I treat it as sacred, is your voice is always in my head. And I think, what would Kellen say? What would Kellen do? And again, that's not about me, but it's about the effort that I make or that you make to love and lift and bless and give. And so when people think about you, or you think about a loved one, their voice, their habits, their laughter, their joy, the things they liked, the things they did, all of those create warmth and spiritual connection and memory that not only eases the fact that they're gone right now, but it truly reminds us that they are still somewhere. And there will be a joyful reunion. Now, a minute ago, I talked a little bit about the fact that the only thing we take with us is what we've made out of ourselves, and that's only in the spiritual realm. So if I look back over my life, when I struggled for decades with feeling not good enough and my need to prove and to get stamps of approval on my forehead and living in sort of competition with both myself and others, when I look at that trajectory, the behaviors that came from that were not something I wanted, you know. I was selfish. I was concerned about how I looked. I lied to protect myself, and, you know, all kinds of behaviors that are not how I want to be remembered. And in 2007, which is now 17 years ago, some pretty remarkable things happened, and I made a choice to completely change. And in that change, I have created a new me, one that tells the truth all the time, one that is full of love, one that is patient and kind and compassionate. And again, this is not about yay me. Forget that. Here you. What are you creating of yourself? Not about titles, accomplishments, you know, all that thing. The inner heart. Who are you? Are you a person of integrity? Do you do what you say? Are you the person you seem to be? Are you quick to love instead of quick to criticize? I'm not suggesting those are things you should do, but what we make of ourselves is all that we're taking. And so because our spiritual journey continues, if the only thing I've made out of myself is someone who's quick to anger, very judgmental, looking out for myself only, not concerned about what others feel, then that's who I'm going to be later. Death doesn't cause those characteristics to disappear. And it also doesn't cause the characteristics of love, growth, creativity, kindness, compassion to disappear. We will take with us who we have become. And that's so joyful, important, and truthful. And I invite you to think about that as you think about either dying yourself or about someone else. Another thing that occurs to me, and it occurs to you, is the sort of truth that was the Lion King thing. Because death is simply part of life cycle, like we don't get fussed when we plant crops, and at the end of the growing season, they die, and then we have to replant. Now, some are perennial, like my uncle had a dairy farm, and the alfalfa fields that he grew to feed cows, they were perennial. You didn't plant those. They grew again the next year. The barley, which is also part of the food, on the other hand, did need to get planted. So you know, how that cycle churns is different for everything. But birth, growth, nurturing, nourishment, getting mature, having influence on others, getting old, croaking, you know, passing on, and then crumbling away, that is the natural cycle. And because we know the spiritual piece of us goes on, it's not even, and this is me talking, and you're going to either agree or think I'm nuts, I don't find it sad. Because I know, and I'm sharing this with you, those people are not gone. We may be sad that their life was cut short. My dad died a lot earlier than anyone expected, and I had expected another 20 years of getting to know and work with and talk to, and suddenly at 66, he was gone. So that part was sad, but the sadness was short because I know he's up to something. And in fact, his presence is one of the spirit guides that I've felt from time to time, his voice in my heart and my mind. And I know without question that he is somewhere doing something. And the something is important and good, just like the things, some of the things, at least that we do here, are important or good. And isn't it funny that the only things that really matter that we do here are when we are loving and serving and building and, you know, that kind of stuff. Greed, accumulation of wealth, building a garage full of 15 cars. None of those things are lasting. I suspect that it is exactly the same in the spirit realm. The things that matter are the things of the heart, the spirit, of compassion, of kindness, of growth, of love. It's often occurred to me that love, we don't even understand it. It's a word that we use incompletely, in an incomplete fashion. We talk about being in love and making love and parental love and all that sort of thing. I think love is way more than that. I think love is the energy, like it is a power, the energy that binds things together, that literally holds the worlds in orbit, that causes the laws of physics at the most basic level to function. That love is that powerful. And I can already hear you think maybe I'm nuts, but I believe that. And the things that I have seen make me feel like that's really true and meaningful and powerful. So the cycle of birth and growing and maturation and development and everything else is just part of the gig, and we move on to somewhere else. And what we do is we infect it with painful things, greed and unkindness and selfishness and anger and jealousy and envy and frustration and rage and cruelty. We infect a beautiful process of growth with those all too common emotions. Now, having said all that, I want to talk for a moment here about grief. I've had experiences that make me know what comes after. So I have a certain perspective. Until I had those experiences, I just thought I might know, and I wasn't sure, and so I had empty spots there. When we don't know, we tend to create the worst. We tend to assume the negative. Some people say we're wired that way, you know, to emphasize the negative for self-preservation. I don't know. But grief is absolutely part of this whole growth cycle. Dealing with failure, dealing with loss, dealing with disappointment and frustration, and all of the rest is part of our growth. I can tell you, in my case, my own experience with grief and pain and sadness and loss has been a big part of my own spiritual growth since I started after the change in 2007. And if you're interested in that experience, the book that I wrote about my life from young up to that grand sort of transformation is called Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. And if you put my name in on Amazon, you'll see that and all the other books that I've written that all have come from my own journey. And I struggle with depression and relevant things like self-sabotage and not good enough and all of the monstrous things that come with it for decades. But anyway, grief, losing something, it has taught me so much. It has taught me to be patient. It has taught me to love through the pain. Many things are part of this cycle of loss. And I am not trying to quote the mind of the divine, but it seems to me to be a divinely orchestrated thing. If you and I never experienced loss, and the deeper the loss, the tougher the cut in our hearts and the harder the experience. But when we learn to trust, we learn to love through that, we learn to understand and reach into the eternal, take a longer view, understand that we'll see each other again. Going through that deprivation and pain of separation is a potential opportunity for growth. When I talk about personal growth and talk about life experience, I say, you know, we have a lot of experiences that can either ruin us or refine us. And sometimes they do both. Something happens and at first it ruins us. Why did this happen? I'm completely destroyed. I'm ruined. And we go on that way. And then over time, with a little perspective and often with a little help from coaches or counselors or our own divine connection, we realize that this is an opportunity for growth and refinement. Grief at the loss and suffering at their absence is normal and part of that growth if we choose to have it. And when that healing takes place, for me, it's replaced with a great deal of gratitude. And so my whole feeling about the thing changes, and I have really enormous gratitude, not only for the person that I knew, but for the design of the whole thing. Like, I don't wish away or resent one piece of pain and suffering that I've had. Every part of it, in my opinion, was needed and important for me to grow and understand in the ways that I have. So I love it, every piece of it. And again, you might think I'm nuts. Another piece is when someone leaves, transitions, it's a stark reminder about this eternity business. Like, it's easy to go from day to day and week to week, month to month, and year to year, not thinking about this, you know, spiritual mumbo jumbo out there when I got to worry about paying the rent and worry about whether or not my book's going to get finished and the publisher's going to accept it, or whether or not the music that I write's going to be any good, or you worrying about whether or not you're going to keep your job, or, you know, the relationship's going to fall apart or whatever. Those are important, and they are real things, and they're sort of clear and present and in our face right now. And when some big thing happens, some big connection to the divine, it isn't always death, but we're talking about this that right now. So when somebody dies, leaves, especially if it's unexpected or sudden, boy, it is a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call. It reminds you things are impermanent. They're designed that way. And we can be mad about that, or we can understand and inquire as to why and what is to be learned and gained, what growth is possible from that. And so when someone passes away, it's a wake-up call, a slap in the face, sort of dragging us into the presence of living or remembering, I guess, about the eternal nature of things. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, the real hard questions. What do we really believe about where we go? Like, it brings into immediate focus, who are we? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Those questions come into sharp focus. Now, I'm going to give you what I consider to be the most important tool to answering those questions, and that is learning to create a relationship with the divine. Now, whether you define the divine as God or the universe or your higher self or the, you know, consciousness, mind, capital M, divine mind, however you define it, it's there. You know it and you feel it. And when somebody dies or something tragic happens, you're drawn immediately into those questions. But here's the thought. If you or I spend the effort all the time, like when nothing traumatic is happening, developing our connection and intuition with the unseen realms, the subtle realms, the energetic realms, the spiritual realms, all those are names, and there are many more that people have of that, then we have access to that, because it's just like doing push-ups. You can do more because you've been practicing. So I want you to think about that. I wrote some books on meditation, and there's thousands of books on that subject of all different kinds of meditation, awareness, mindfulness, all that kind of stuff, breath work. The focus of all that is to allow us to slow down, empty our mind of all the mundane nonsense, and listen. Get quiet and listen and create connection to the divine, and create and nurture our ability to hear information, intuition, inspiration, call it whatever you like, because it's there. Every piece of truth, all reality is there in that gigantic energetic field. Conscious, someone in some book called it the conscious unified field, or the spirit realm, call it what you want. All truth is already there. And then I think, well, man, if it's there, what do I need to do so I can have access to that? So I make less mistakes, so I can get over things faster, so I can get faster from the ruin to refine when tough things happen. Well, the easiest way to do that is to work on it gradually. You know, if I wait till there's a tragedy, it's a lot harder to suddenly try to go from zero to third grade or sixth grade or, you know, even more. But if I work on that regularly, I have found that regular meditation practice, regular connection with the divine, whether you pray or meditate or get really quiet and still, like, doing that is such a powerful gift and will give you, when someone passes, comfort. It will give you that. It will give you certainty. It will reaffirm what you've already come to know in your practice time, and that is that life continues. They're still there. You'll meet them again. And that every single thing we go through here can make us better if we want it to. So that's a really important tool, and I share that with you. I've written several books on meditation if you want a particular approach, but there are thousands of those, and you can use mine or someone else's. And again, they're on Amazon if you want my help in learning that. Another thing that is so important is when we think about, when we don't think about anything, we just live our lives day to day and churn, right? If you think about dying, and if something happens in your life to bring that front and center, slap in the face, or if you're mindful, aware of our own mortality, like sometimes happens when we get sick or someone gets in an accident but doesn't die, it gives us a wake-up call to live fully in the present. I have a friend who was a client for a brief time a number of years ago. She wrote a book called We Don't Die. We Don't Die. And her whole life and business is about exploring this afterlife and different methods of communication and a bunch of stuff. But her message is, we need to take the opportunity while we're here to live full out. That's what she always said, live full out. That is not a call to hedonism or self-indulgence, but it's a call to say, I love you when you feel it. It's a call to live your life all in, to reach and connect and to be alive and focused and creative. So often we live in fear of, well, if I do this, this might go wrong and that might happen. And oh no, what if I fail? And so we end up living sort of a shriveled up life. You and I both know that nearly always we live way below what we're capable of. And then we live there because we're afraid. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if they laugh? What if? And her book and her message and this point right here is live full out. So I've heard people say, oh, the world couldn't handle me if I was my authentic self. I don't know that. Try it. Please, I plead with you. I believe, and I share with you, the greatest gift we can give is to be our full, open, honest, authentic, loving selves, to learn to live and lift and bless each other. In all times, our common humanity is so much more important. And if you're trying to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, and you haven't figured out your purpose yet, start with, my purpose is to love and serve and lift those around me. My purpose is to mine my gifts and my skills and my life experience to give everything I can in service of those that I can lift and bless. And yes, that means creating a business and charging money and everything else, because we all need that medium of exchange. The last point I want to talk about today is something I mentioned earlier, and that is one of the things I know is that we're going to meet these people again. Like when you croak or when I do, you keep being you. You're a different you than you were when you came here based on your experiences and your choices and what you've chosen to be, but you're still you, and you're going to meet your loved ones. You're going to meet maybe some enemies you had before. You're going to meet these people. They're going to be there. They didn't vanish into the cosmos. One of the things that drives me sometimes a little and sometimes a lot is I think about, who do I want to be when I go in those places and see those people? What about people I hurt? What about that? Right? Whatever's past, you can't change. But what I know is the best that I can do is fix everything I can, make the most that I can out of myself, because that's what I feel called to do. And I think that's what we're all driven to do. And know for sure, we're not done when you close your eyes in death. It's a transition. Your relationships will continue. You will know and meet people you knew here. That will happen. Now, you can spend your energy and effort telling me I'm crazy, or you can listen with some thoughtful questions about, what if this is so? And use your language and description, but what if this is true? What does that invite you to do about yourself, with yourself? What does that say about your goals, if anything? It certainly made me more focused on goals of love and service. It made me more focused on, how do I be useful instead of just, how do I get stuff? I can tell you that the things that have changed for me as I have shifted to be completely focused on love and service are, I now live that ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Every day is joyful. Every moment is fun, even when things happen. When people around me pass away, I know where they are. And it makes me more determined than ever to lift and love and bless and serve those around me. So, wherever you are and whatever you're struggling with, I love you. I want to serve you. I assure you, you are powerful and capable. There's no reason you cannot create anything you want. That power, love of creative energy is at your beck and call. And it doesn't work like Harry Potter wants, but it does respond to effort, belief, focus, trust. It does respond. Your ability to create is unbounded. If there's anything I can do to be of service, get a hold of me. That's all I do. My commitment this year is to reach 250 million people, and you're one, to help you identify how you can create the most impact have the most fun and make the most money doing what you absolutely love and creating a life that you love every day where you're so excited to get up and be in it. You can hardly wait. Can you imagine that? Where every time you open your eyes, the answer is, I'm so grateful. The feeling is, I'm so grateful. It's another day. It's a beautiful day. Wow, I have this to do and that to do. I'm so excited about the people I'm going to meet and the things that I'm going to help create and bring into the world. Wow. Maybe you live like that right now, but you know what? 99.9% of people that I meet don't. And it's within your reach. It's within your capability. It is not out of reach. It's not for somebody else. It's for you right here, right now. I know that from my own experience and having helped so many others. That's why I've written all these books. So I invite you to love yourself, to understand that death is a transition. Allow the difficult events to refine you instead of ruin you. And in all your doing and being, use the power of love to move you forward to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.